guys. It's episode 614 of All Time Top 10. We are living in perilous times, people. And whenever this happens, people tend to think existentially, I think. Big shout out to Eric Idle and Monty Python. Why are we here? What's it all about? Is God really real? Or is there some doubt? Well, tonight we're going to sort it all out. Tonight it's part two of Top 10 Existential Songs, our fifth volume of these, featuring the enigmatic Gabe Scalone. Folks, if you missed part one, go back and check it out wherever you get your podcasts. And if you need more existentialism, go to the archives at mixcloud.com and listen to volumes 1 through 4. We'll be wrapping things up here with picks 5 through 1 coming up next. Now, if you want more ATTT in your ear holes and you want to help out the show, get with All Time Top 10's Patreon, people. Get exclusive bonus episodes every month utilizing our patented emergency pod format. Listen in as we pull a playlist out of our butts in real time with episodes featuring some of our favorite people playing our little musical improv game. Get those for just $5 a month at patreon.com/alltimetop10. May 1st, episode 3 will drop, featuring the old boy himself, Ryan Blake. Thanks to all who have been chatting away with us at the Facebook chat group. Come say hi and start a conversation about music over there on the Facebooks. Shannon Hurley just helped us get about 100 new members, including some heavy hitters in the music biz and more pals of the pod. Check it out. And while you're at it, come join us on the socials and participate in our polls. Polls to choose the bonus track of the week and in service of the continuing rollout of the mega list, the ATTT 1000, aka the 1000 greatest songs we've ever heard. 3 more were revealed this week, and it was Gene Week. All Genes this week at number 625. It was the Benny Goodman Orchestra featuring the amazing Gene Krupa. I was asking you guys on the socials, who is the all-time greatest jazz drummer? Lots of good suggestions here from you guys. Max Roach, Buddy Rich, Louis Belson, Elvin Jones, Papa Joe Jones, Art Blakey, Danny Richmond, Joe Morello, Dan Weiss, Tony Williams, Joey Barron, Billy Cobham, and quite a bit more. Thank you so much to all of our friends there who were suggesting these. But we love the Benny Goodman Orchestra. I think it got, what is it, 7 out of 5 in the epicness scale. That is an amazing track, especially for the time that it came out. And our good friend Bill agrees, and he loves Benny Goodman. He said he made the clarinet cool. And yeah, shout out to Benny and shout out to Gene Krupa on that. Thank you. Number 624, it is Gene Kelly with Singing in the Rain. I was asking you guys, what's the best song about singing? Good suggestions from you guys. Why I Sing the Blues by B.B. King, Sing by Travis, Sing by the Carpenters, Sing in My Prayer by the California Honey Drops, Johnny Cash, Daddy Sang Bass, The Beatles, And Your Bird Can Sing, It's the Singer, Not the Song by the Rolling Stones, Cat Stevens, If You Want to Sing Out, Sing Out, I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing, Today I Sing the Blues from Aretha Franklin, and quite a bit more. Thank you guys. We love Singing in the Rain. Our friend Adam loves it too. He says, from my all-time ride or die favorite movie, no hyperbole, bar none. I love that. Thank you, Adam. One more Gene to talk about. It is number 623. It's Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka. The song is Pure Imagination. I was asking you guys, what's the best movie musical of the 70s? Great suggestions here. Tommy, Cabaret, Jesus Christ Superstar, Fiddler on the Roof, All That Jazz, Phantom of the Paradise, The Rocky Horror Picture Show, Grease, The Wiz, Hair, and Lost in the Stars. But we love Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, of course, and that magical song, Pure Imagination. Our friend Shirley Stewart Burns says, absolutely, positively, 100% Willy Wonka all the way. And our friend Jeff says, Gene Wilder is the one true Wonka. Truer words could not have been said. Thank you, Jeff. And thank you to all for your votes and your picks and your comments and all that good stuff. Those three songs are now added to the playlists, which can be found on Spotify and YouTube. go check those out. Follow along. We're going to be adding three more this coming week, and we're going to keep it going. Thanks, everybody. All right, let's wrap up our conversation with Gabe. Let's talk existentialism one more time, and let's roll that tape.
This is pitiful. 1,000 people freezing their butts off waiting to worship a rat. What a hype. Not like they used to mean something in this town. They used to pull the hog out and they used to eat it. You're hypocrites, all of you. You got a problem with what I'm saying, Larry? Untie your tongue and you come out here and talk, huh? Am I upsetting you, princess? You know, you want a prediction about the weather. You're asking the wrong Phil. I'll give you a winter prediction. It's gonna be cold, it's gonna be gray, and it's gonna last you for the rest of your life.
Top 10 Existential Songs, Volume 5, Part 2.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging around. Thanks for waiting for us for a week. We are back with the great Gabe Scalone. Hey, Gabe.
Hey, man. And, you know, I made this joke before, but just in case people weren't listening.
What, the charcoal thing?
No. On another episode. We've actually been sitting here for an entire week staring at each other.
I know.
Waiting just to start this next one.
I lost my job, dude.
What?
I lost my job because of that.
I mean, this is the kind of commitment we have for all-time top 10.
That's true.
We just stayed here for a week because, you know.
What are we going to do?
Episode 2 is coming, man. We can't just, like, record it back to back, right? That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah.
And dishonest.
Dishonest. That's the problem with it. Not that it would be make any practical sense, but you know, we have to.
I rarely make practical sense.
That's right. That's a very Gabe thing to say. Thank you for that.
Well, Gabe did say it.
He did. We're back with Gabe Scalone talking about our favorite existential songs, and you mentioned that all of our regulars have their thing. You know. And this is your thing. I hope you're okay with it because you have good picks every time. I'm never disappointed.
Thank you.
If you guys missed part one, we heard some real fun stuff over there. Go back and check it out wherever you get your podcasts if you have not already. And then also, before we get into the top half of the list, thank you, Gabe Scalone, for whipping up a quick emergency pod logo for me.
My pleasure.
Very easy, I'm sure. It seemed easy. I couldn't do it, but it seemed easy.
Yeah.
I even tried to.
Still didn't get paid for it.
What? I sent you. Didn't I? Damn you.
No.
What? Are you serious?
I'll have to check again. I don't think so.
I totally paid you. If I didn't, I'm going to do it right now. But anyway.
But I would do it for free.
No. We'll work that out. And yeah, if you need graphics work, our friend Gabe created the all-time top 10 logo that you see everywhere.
Yep, and
it's on this t-shirt I'm wearing.
Yep, that's awesome, I think, to toot my own horn.
It is awesome.
And I did the whole now defunct all-time top 10 website.
You did, yeah, and it's not your fault that it's no longer around. I just wanted to move on to not have that $280 a year for...
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, it was like, oh, this is cool, but is it worth it? But Gabe is always looking around for projects. So
yeah, extra work, any kind of, Adobe. I can do Illustrator. I can do Photoshop. I can put your face on anything. You want to be in Woodstock? No problem. I'll put you there. You want a logo? Make it for you. No problem.
He'll put your head on Morrissey's body.
I can do that.
Which is insane. I can't believe you did that to me.
Well, I mean, it worked.
I'm still stuck there. Anyway, thanks again for doing it, Gabe. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
And
appreciate you letting me plug.
Always. I think it's time to bust out song number 5. What do you got for us?
All right. So to know thyself, one of the Delphic maxims, that's a big part of existentialism, maybe the biggest. Like, more specifically, is to know your authentic self. So gender is a big part of who you are. And some bigger than others, but hey-o!
what?
But when it comes to gender, it would be truly absurd to think there's just two. You know, yes, I know the sex of a child is determined by whatever swimmer gets there first, but gender, I think it's another story. I mean, regardless of what some might think, for example, if you see like an effeminate man or a masculine woman, it's not an affectation. This is who they are.
Right.
And most of the times it's there from birth. Like Simone de Beauvoir said, quote, one is not born, but rather becomes a woman, unquote.
Interesting.
So if the woman archetype is forced upon anybody born with a vagina or, you know, a man on the flip side, it makes it so much harder to know thyself, because I really believe gender is so much more liquid than people think.
Well, and it's just like, there's just like shades of everything and everybody. It's just like
there is
various levels of whatever, and everyone's different, you know?
Yeah. And there has to be, I mean, there's just no way it's one and two.
Right.
So, and even if you don't express it, I mean,
we're not robots, people.
Absolutely. And you know, To really be truly authentic, you know, the most authentic version of yourself, you know, you must accept your gender without shame or judgment, you know, most of which, you know, it comes from others, you know, this shame and judgment. And existentially speaking, you shouldn't give a shit what they think.
Yep. I agree with that.
This next song is Boyfriend by Marika Hackman off of I'm Not Your Man 2017. Man, we're all like in that area. So the character in this song, let's call her Marika. She absolutely owns her gender without shame and judgment. And through her will to power, she goes and steals some clueless guy's boyfriend. Hey, guys do it all the time, right?
Right.
But he really doesn't care, because he knows she'll be back, because a woman needs a real man to get it on, right? So, yeah, let's see how that plays out.
All right.
Punch
it, he says. All right.
I say.
Number 5.
Number 5. Boyfriend.
I'm not afraid to so I know he won't feel bad.
Louise Hackman. Very cool, man. I've never heard that artist before.
Oh, she's fantastic. You know, she identifies as a lesbian. I find her to be an amazing writer. One of my favorite lyric lines of all time is, "You came to me for entropy, and I gave you all you had." And, you know, usually that line is, "You came to me for sympathy."
Right.
And she twists it around. I love it. Wrote this song in reference to things like catcalls and such that all women get. And Marika said in an interview that, you know, it's really, really annoying. It just pisses me off. And that's the vibe of this song, being pissed off, but dealing with it in a tongue-in-cheek, sarcastic way. You know, good Nietzsche quote for this is... I assess the power of will by how much resistance, pain, torture it endures, and knows how to turn it to its advantage. So, yeah, go ahead with your cat calls, guys, but don't be surprised when one of them steals your girlfriend.
I love that. Yeah, the whole cat call thing, just grow up, guys. Control yourself. You know?
I could go on a long diatribe about that, but I won't.
Like, okay, you see someone you find attractive. Why don't you just keep it to yourself? What are you doing? You know, I always love that.
It almost gets back to when I was talking about, you know, instinct. It's this, you know, this little
caveman
whisper
bullshit.
It's this little whisper that, you know, guys have. And I reiterate, what separates us from animals is our ability not to act on our instincts. So these guys, you know, with catcalls or anybody with, you know, sexual harassment and stuff like that, they're like animals. They can't.
Yeah.
You should be able to control that. No woman is ever going to say, "Oh, thank you."
Yeah, boy, you got a guy who just drove past me and yelled at me. Come back. I want to talk to you more. You bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, guys are so stupid. Guys will, like, you know, let women merge in traffic just because they think they're going to get sex. Because they're so freaking stupid. And it's like, and I hear the guys complain. It's like, what? I can't give a woman a compliment. It's like, look, guys, women know the difference between, "Hey, that's a nice sweater," and, "Hey, that's a nice sweater. Let's have sex." You know, come on, guys. Just
don't ever say that again, by the way.
Why?
Just don't. I appreciate
you're not wearing a sweater,
right? That was the other part that I don't want you to say again.
Well, then, you know, guys, they just
I know I'm one of them, but I, you know,
no, you've never catcalled somebody.
No, but I'm just saying, like,
I know you
just control yourselves, guys. Don't be idiots. Anyway, let's go to number four. And shout out to our friend Jason Burke. We recently had him on the show doing autobiographical songs. He played a Beach Boys song on the pod, the infamous Brian's Back, which he admitted was a terrible song, and it was.
It's an awful song.
Got it stuck in my head for like 3 weeks.
Oh, 3 weeks? Jesus.
Yeah, it just was just popping up here and there. It's really catchy. It's terrible, but it's catchy. But anyway, we talked about Brian Wilson and his mental challenges and the legends about his behavior during, you know, the mid to late 60s, throughout the 70s. All the stories. He built a sandbox in his bedroom. He went supposedly spent 2 years in bed in the mid 70s, which isn't completely accurate, but you know, it was all the stories. There was a Reddit thread about this, and the user The All Golden writes the following. His recluse period was between 1973 and 1976. There's lots of disturbing stories from this time, but generally his days would consist of listening to Be My Baby over and over again, playing Shortening Bread or Ding Dang on the piano for hours on end, excessive eating, and copious amounts of drugs. His nights he'd spend out in L.A. hanging with other rock stars and even doing more drugs. This is when Dr. Landy first came in, got him off the drugs and back into the studio to work on the album 15 Big Ones. Landy was kicked out after a little over a year, and Brian slowly started receding back into self-destructive behavior during the late 70s. He was back on the drugs, back to overeating, and adding on to his recent divorce and constant demands from everyone around him to get back into the studio and produce new music. He had absolutely no will to live during this period, and it's a miracle he made it out alive. So, and we're glad he did. He's still around today.
And you know, I don't think people realize how much, you know, Brian Wilson has done for, like, you could say indie rock, but you know, even back in the 60s, even before the drugs, all the, you know, the Laurel Canyon group, I mean, he was really a mentor for a lot of people over the years.
Just ask Paul McCartney, you know, he'll tell you.
Yeah.
The Bare Naked Ladies, Stephen Page, channels his inner Brian Wilson in this tribute song simply called Brian Wilson.
Brian Wilson.
So I'm lying here just staring at the ceiling tiles, and I'm thinking about, oh, what to think about, just listening and re-listening to Smiley Smile. And I'm wondering if this is some kind of creative drought, because I'm lying in bed just like Brian Wilson did. So hard to believe the song's never been played on the show before. But
really?
Yeah, kind of crazy. You know, 600 some episodes, never played Brian Wilson by the Bare Naked Ladies, but I think it fits the theme. And you do get references to Dr. Landy in there, and all there's lots of little references to listen for in the lyrics. But it's kind of like, you know, he's having an existential crisis, basically.
He was for sure, and you know, they. The line between, you know, genius and insanity is a small one.
Yeah. But this was a fitting tribute to Brian, and it's the Bare Naked Ladies doing Brian Wilson, coming in at number four.
Number four, Brian Wilson.
Drove downtown in the rain, 9:30 on a Tuesday night, just to check out the late night record shop. Call it impulsive, call it compulsive, call it insane. But when I'm surrounded, I just can't stop. It's a matter of instinct, it's a matter of conditioning, a matter of fact. You can call me Pavlov's dog. Ring a bell and I'll salivate. How'd you like that? Dr. Landy, tell me you're not just a pedagogue. Cause right now I'm lying in bed, just like Brian Wilson did. Well, I'm lying in bed, just like Brian Wilson did. Oh.
just wondering where the hell all the love is gone. I'm playing my guitar and building castles in the sun. Whoa, 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 whoa. And saying fun, fun, fun. I'm lying in bed just like Brian Wilson did. Well, I'm lying in bed just like Brian Wilson did. I floated until I couldn't see the ground. Oh, somebody help me. I couldn't see the ground. Somebody help me. Couldn't see the ground. Somebody help me. Because I'm lying in bed just like Brian Wilson did. Well, I'm lying in bed just like Brian Wilson did.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that in a while. You know, without Steven Page, they're really half a band.
I know. And we saw them.
I know the whole story and, you know, why they broke up and such, but...
They still do stuff without him. It's just not the same.
No, because I feel like they think it is, but it's not. They are just half a band. I remember when they got together for that... It was some Canadian award show, and they hadn't been together in a long time. And it was like they didn't miss a beat. They were fantastic, but...
Oh, they reunited.
Well, just for that one night, but it was like they're never going to get back together. There's just too much water over the dam or whatever you want to call it.
Over the dam. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, because, you know...
Yeah, it's not under the bridge. It's still raw with
no. It's over. What are over the bridge? There's no. Yeah. The bridge is flooded out. The bridge has fallen apart.
We saw.
You know, and it's never coming back. And
we saw them at the Greek without Steven Page, and they did Brian Wilson, and it's just like Ed Robinson. He's fine, but he can't sing that song the way Steven Page.
You know, if he kind of like stole the band, and you know, I saw them with Steven Page. This is years ago. At Merriweather Post.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the craziest shows I ever saw. Okay, so he comes out for an encore, and they play three encore songs. First song, he takes his shirt off, throws in the audience. Second song, he takes his pants off and throws in the audience.
I don't like
the third
where this
song,
is going.
After the third song of the encore, he takes his underwear off and throws it to the audience. And, you know, everybody was like, when he took his shirt off, everyone was like, yeah! And when he took his pants off, everybody was like, yeah! When he took his underwear off, everybody was like, yeah!
Was he, like, high on stage? Is that what happened? Because that was part of the problem with Steven Page, was his drug use was getting out of control.
He probably was. He seemed to...
Seems odd for someone in the Bare Naked Ladies to have a drug problem, but... They don't seem like cocaine, that kind of band, you know.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
That's what they say. Stephen Page said that Brian Wilson is semi-autobiographical. He says, quote, "There are lots of points in my life where I thought, what would happen if I just didn't get out of bed today? I think that song is about the power of music to help you find value in your life, either as a creator or a listener. That song I like to get back to get myself up and do things."
So much. I wish they would get back together, because I've listened to both of their stuff apart, and it's just they're half a band. Just
they know shame. It. I think they know it, but they're just...
I don't know. But it's just, it almost, you know, with interviews you see, it's almost like, I don't know, Ed. Yeah, I don't want to get into it, but it seems like he's just so stubborn, and I don't want to say cocky, but he seems like, you know, he's got some, you know, some hubris to him, and.
I think they all do a little bit. But anyway, that's the Bare Naked Ladies. That's Brian Wilson. First time ever on the show. How about that?
Right on.
Number four. Let's go to number three, Gabe Scalone. What do you got?
All right. So after the Morrissey song, you might think existentialism would like shun relationships in general, but that's far from the truth. Existentialism absolutely encourages relationships, and it wants us to be active creatures in society as we're a part of it, you know, whether we like it or not. What is the Heidegger quote? Isolated I without other to be given. I might be paraphrasing that, but you know, fair enough. You get the point. So, you know, if being like sympathetic, you know, learning from others or like asking for help when you need it, if this can help you grow and develop into a better individual, then mazel tov, you know?
Yes.
You just need to find the balance between like independence and support. So that brings us to Laura Merring or Wiseblood. And the song is, "It's not just me, it's everybody. And in the darkness, hearts aglow." And that's on, that's the album, "And in the Darkness, Hearts Aglow," 2022. So remember that song. Remember that date, 2022. And the song will make a lot of sense if you keep that in mind.
Okay. It's a very specific place and time.
Yeah. So okay. the song begins with a girl. Let's call her Laura, hanging out at a party, and she's lamenting the fact that no one knows the real her, and it's been so long since anybody did. And then as the world changes, she finds herself drifting away from others and starting to doubt if she even really knew herself at all. And as the distance grows, her loneliness starts to hurt, and she has no support because everybody's so far away.
Wow.
Eventually, you know, she finds solace in the fact that everyone feels like shit. And in that is a community unto itself, you know.
Yeah. We all went through collective trauma, you know. Some people just were in denial about it the entire time, but you know.
Yeah, I was there.
You recall.
I do. I loved it though, because I didn't have to deal with people. I'm fine on.
Oh, it was. It was. It, Gabe was in.
I can always entertain myself. You know,
in
it was
Gabe heaven.
Yeah, it was the other stuff that was driving me nuts. But anyway, so go ahead. Let's play this song. I love Wiseblood. I've listened to her stuff more over the past 3 or 4 years than any other artist. I constantly just, when I need to zone out, you know, I just put on her music, and I know all the songs so well, and it just washes over me. She's just an incredible talent.
The sound is so lush of this band.
I thought
it was Wiseblood, but I don't know. Is it W-E-Y-E-S?
It's actually Wiseblood.
But that's
it's,
how you say it? Wiseblood? Okay.
Yeah, it's she had to spell it like that because of, you know, copyright and stuff. It's based on a movie.
Oh.
Wiseblood.
Interesting. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So
what's the song called?
The song is called, "It's Not Just Me, It's Everybody." And it's, "And Darkness, Hearts Aglow," from 2022.
Yeah. 2022. Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Check it out. Number three, everybody.
Number three. "It's Not Just Me, It's Everybody."
Really know.
See how this is a perfect example of how this thing called society can help you find a moment of peace in an absurd world at an absurd time, and that's existentialism for you.
Living in the wake of overwhelming changes, we've all become strangers, even to ourselves. We just can't help, we can't see from far away to know that every wave might not be the same, but it's all a part of one big thing. It's not just me, it's everybody.
Yeah, just a really good artist, a really good song, really good album. Matter of fact,
voice. Amazing.
Her last three albums are stellar, but her last two were produced by Jonathan Rado from Foxygen, who also did one of, I think, Father John Misty's not last album, but the one before. And I mean, I love him. He's an amazing producer. I love Foxygen too. That stuff is fantastic.
We've played some of their stuff before.
It's crazy as hell, but I love it. But he's a really, really incredible producer. He reminds me a lot of Mitchell Froom. If you know him, he's done tons and tons of shit.
Oh, we had gotten so far.
I had gone so far.
That's a minor one. Don't worry.
Yeah.
You can actually say that on TV now. Anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've seen it. I've seen it on the news. They say that word. Anyway. Huh. let's go to
news. Naturally, I don't watch the news.
Oh, that's right. Shut the world out. You're smart that way.
I'm ashamed. But sticking my head in the sand is...
It's a survival instinct.
It's better for my mental health.
Understood. Let's go to number two. And shout out to Jimmy Webb, who wrote some great songs for Glenn Campbell, including By the Time I Get to Phoenix and Galveston. He said he was driving along the Kansas-Oklahoma border one day when he saw a lonesome telephone lineman working atop a telephone pole, and he was talking to somebody. And he started thinking, like, what the hell is that guy talking about? You know, and it gave him the idea for this song. The song is Wichita Lineman. And it's been called, Dylan Jones of The Independent in particular, calls it the first existential country song. And it's 1968. And here's just this story about a guy who's, you know, trying to get through life. I love this this bit. This is a bit from Song Facts, because I've given Song Facts some love in recent years, because they're doing their own interviews now. So it's not just, you know, blowing smoke. Like, they get from the source, and they talked to Jimmy Webb about this song, and he said, "I've never worked with high tension wires or anything like that. My characters were all ordinary guys. They were all blue-collar guys who did ordinary jobs. As Billy Joel likes to say, which is pretty accurate, he said, they're ordinary people thinking extraordinary thoughts. I always appreciated that comment because I thought it was very close to what I was doing or what I was trying to do. And they come from ordinary towns. They come from places like Galveston and Wichita and places like that." And it's a real simple concept, wondering, you know, is that guy that I'm seeing up there, is he aware of just the world? Is he really thinking just blue collar thoughts? Is he talking to someone on the line going, check, is this thing working? Or is he like having a conversation with someone about, it could be anything.
Probably talking about Nietzsche.
Yeah.
And comparing Nietzsche's atheistic existentialism with Kierkegaard's theistic existentialism, because, you know, that's probably...
He must be talking to you then.
Well, in 67?
You were negative, whatever. But he was talking to the Gabe Scalone of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But his name's Bob.
That guy.
Okay.
So
guy.
There's just something about this song, and a lot of it comes from Glenn Campbell's voice and the music. This is the Wrecking Crew, once again. No one's better. You get all the Carole Kaye is on this, Hal Blaine is on this, and Glenn used to be a member of the Wrecking Crew, you know, before he broke out as a performer and star in his own right. He was one of them,
you know, and, one of the few to break out, but yeah. All the rest were absolutely musicians of such top quality that, you know, I think any of them could have.
Yep. But he was good looking.
And well, could, that, you know. I mean, if you've seen the Wrecking Crew,
a lot of them were built for the studio.
They're not quite Toto, but
we did an LA Studio Musicians episode. We talked all about the Wrecking Crew. So Glenn's playing the bass six on this track as well.
Speaking your language.
So cool. Yeah. So that's what we're going to do for number two. Throw a little Glenn Campbell out there. The Wichita Lineman is still on the line talking about Kierkegaard and whoever with Bob. Check
that
it out.
That guy.
Number two.
Wichita Lineman.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road. Search Watching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire. I can hear you through the whine. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line. I know I need a small vacation, but it don't look like rain. And if it snows, that stretch down south won't ever stand the strain. And I need you more than want you, and I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line.
Great is that.
You know what's weird listening to that song? I think the theme song to Buck Rogers kind of lifted some stuff from that. Do you remember the theme song? It's called, I think, Suspension. The guy who did its name is Kip Lennon. No relation to John, but you listen to that later.
I've never heard that, but okay.
Yeah, and tell me that. I really feel like, and anyway, that's neither here nor there, but great song. That's just good.
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy good Webb, country.
Jimmy Webb said this in his Song Facts interview. He said, on certain songs, the magic is undeniable. Wichita Lineman, and by the time I get to Phoenix, it's almost as though the song was waiting for the singer, and the singer was waiting for the song.
That the background stuff in that, just the strings, the that, I mean, you could almost take, not that you'd want to, but take Glenn Campbell out and just listen to the the background.
Yeah,
it's just fantastic. And then I don't know, I can't say enough about the Wrecking Crew. They're just it's good stuff, man. It's good stuff.
Have you seen that documentary about them?
You know, I wanted to, and I just never got around to it.
Yeah, check it out. It's long, but it's worth seeing.
Well, that's okay. You know,
there's a lot to cover.
I'd love to see the information. You know, my aunt, who I live with, is huge. She doesn't know a whole lot about music, but she knows the Wrecking Crew. So it just shows you that
she must know something.
You know, nobody knows backup bands. Nobody knows studio musicians. But you know, if you say the Wrecking Crew, you know, yeah, they know that.
Yeah, they played on all the best stuff for sure.
Yeah.
All right, number one is here, Gabe Scalone. What do you got?
All right, so Sartre wrote, man is condemned to be free because once thrown into the world, he is responsible for everything he does. If you succeed, hey, pat yourself on the back because that was all you. If you fail, then it's your fault. And if your life is shit, it's because you made shitty choices. And that's the price of free will. You know, your life is defined solely by the choices you make, and it's a heavy load. And to understand life has no meaning other than what you make of it, this can, you know, sometimes lead to the dreaded existential
crisis.
Dread
or crisis.
Well, yeah, it's all right. If left unchecked, it can develop into a, you know, full blown crisis.
Yep.
And you know, you question, why are you here at all? Of course, the only person that can answer that question is you.
Damn it. Come on. Someone help.
So someone please help me. No.
Can't do it.
When it comes to questions like, you can ask help, but when it comes to questions like this, questions of your existence. I mean, that's all you, man, you know, and that having that responsibility can really be very depressing. So that brings us to Otis Redding sitting on the dock of the bay.
Oh,
and I
beautiful.
I am surprised neither one of us had hit on this song in the other four iterations of existential songs. So this song is semi-autobiographical. The details I'll get to in a minute. But the character of the story, let's call him Otis.
that guy?
Yeah, that guy. He's moved well through existential dread and now is in a crisis. And he feels like he has nothing to live for, which is a telltale sign of an existential crisis. So he decides to leave his home in Georgia and travel 2,000 miles to San Francisco. Now, 2,000 miles would really only get him to, like, Beaver, Utah, you know, which is depressing enough, but we'll let that go. Eventually, he makes it to Frisco and hangs out at the docks, yet nothing changes. He still feels how he did in Georgia and Beaver, and he now realizes, or probably already knew, that, you know, nothing's ever going to change unless he changes it. But there he sits on the dock of the bay, wasting time. So the story behind this was, and I'm sure many of you already know it, but the real Otis was, he's just exhausted from dealing with, you know, his fame, which, you know, came on quickly, touring and then being away from his family in Macon. He's also a few months after polyp surgery, and he was worried about his voice. Mm. Bill Graham, you know, the promoter, let him say, on his boathouse in Sausalito to, you know, recharge. And this, you've ever been to Sausalito?
This was after Monterey Pop. He was out in California, yep, for that. This was like after that.
Correct.
I've never been to Sausalito. No, I've heard.
A second.
I've never been to Sausalito. No, I've heard it's beautiful.
Let me tell you something. It is quite possibly the most beautiful place I've ever seen. It is stunning. While I was there, it inspired this song. So let's hear it.
Yeah, and then he had to go and die before it came out. Sucks. We love you, Otis. Let's check it out. Number one. Great number one. Fantastic. Yeah, you're right. We should have thought of this before. It's perfect. Dock of the Bay, everyone.
Number one, sitting on the dock of the bay.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting in the evening sun, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide. Watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change. Everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same.
nothing's gonna change. He figured that out. He's like, yeah, you know what?
That's it, right there. Nothing's gonna change unless he changes it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I read that that whistling at the end was just a placeholder. He was gonna do have something else there, but just needed a little something to put in there for, you know, his vocal whatever.
Yeah,
it just ended up being an iconic part of the song. Yeah.
You know, I always wonder if the character, you know, that song, not the real Otis, intended on, you know, ending it all when he got to Frisco and he's just taking stop before he does.
Wasting time before the inevitable.
Before he, yeah. You know,
interesting.
Seeing suicide from an existential perspective, it kind of depends on who you ask. Like Nietzsche thinks it's the most estimable of deeds. Whereas, I read this essay, you know, by Camus called The Myth of Sisyphus, where he basically debates the absurd question, and this is what you brought up at the beginning of last show, that if life has no meaning, then why continue living it? Yeah. And since I know none of you will actually go and read this, even though I recommend it, he comes to the conclusion that if you accept them and basically own the contradiction, then you will find peace in knowing there is nothing you can do about it otherwise. So no need to off yourself.
You'll either find peace or you'll go insane.
Yeah, and of course the, you know, using Sisyphus as an example, if Sisyphus accepts the fact that he is never, ever going to win, he's never going to get that rock, it's always going to come down. If he just accepts it, and that's his stock in life, then he'll find peace in that. And
why do these go do something else? You know, does he really have to keep pushing that damn rock up the damn thing?
You know, it's his penance. You know, it's his punishment. You know, the shame is you know, as we all know, you know, Otis didn't die in a bay, but in a lake, heading to Madison. By the way,
yeah, Lake Monona, plane crash. And I don't know why they were up in that rickety plane in December in a snowstorm. There's
no reason they should have taken off.
What a shame. 26 years old.
Yeah.
Along with members of the Marques too.
And, you know, only one survivor.
I can't believe anyone survived that. But
I saw pictures as I was, you know, researching this, and it's I didn't want to see pictures, but they just happened to come up, and it's like, how anybody survived that is just a miracle.
Yeah.
It's still not as bad as Jim Croce. This big ass field, and there's one damn tree in this huge pecan field. God damn it! If I was a musician or famous person, I would never get into a small plane or helicopter.
Right.
But speaking of helicopter, Bill Graham died in a helicopter accident. It's like, just don't ever get those two things and you'll be fine.
Will you?
Probably not.
There's other ways to go. Anyway, thank you so much. Gabe Sclone, everybody. Yeah. Great list. Yeah. Great list. We're going to have some honorable mentions for y'all when we come back from this. It's the bonus track of the week for part two, another song selected by our good friends on social media. Check it out.
As chosen by our listeners on social media, here's the bonus track of the week.
Hey, everybody. It's time for the listener pick bonus track of the week selected by our friends over there on social media. That's Threads, Instagram, and Facebook. All right. Thank you so much to everyone that made picks and everybody that voted. And of course, thanks to the great Gabe Scalone. Thank you, Gabe. So much fun hanging out with our friend Gabe. All right. These are the songs you guys were voting on over there on social media. We had They Might Be Giants with Dead. We had Kate Bush with Them Heavy People. We had The Godfathers, Birth, School, Work, Death. but the winner this week, the runner-up from last week, is the winner this week, and we're so excited to listen to it. It is our friends from Monty Python doing the theme song to the movie The Meaning of Life. And if you haven't seen that movie, it's not their best, but it's damn funny. So check it out, everyone. And thank you so much to Mr. Morris Berstinski for suggesting this one. And thanks to everyone that voted for it. Here it is, the bonus track of the week for Top 10 Existential Songs Part 2. Thank you so much, guys. Check it out.
Listener pick.
Why are we here? What's life all about? Is God really real? Or is there some doubt? Well, tonight we're going to sort it all out. For tonight, it's the meaning of life. What's the point of all these hoax? Is it the chicken and the egg time? Are we just yokes? Perhaps we're just one of God's little jokes. We're sourcing the meaning of life. Is life just a game where we make up the rules while we're searching for something to say? Self-replicating DNA. In this life, what is our fate? Is there a heaven and hell? Do we reincarnate? Is mankind evolving, or is it too late? What's on that? Here's the meaning of life. For millions, this life is a sad veil of tears, sitting round with nothing to say. While the scientists say we're just simply spiraling coins of self-replicating DNA.
There it is, the bonus track of the week. Thanks everyone for your picks and your votes. All right, Gabe, quickly, honorable mentions. What do you got?
I've got a band called The Classic Crime. Song called The Happy Nihilist, where at the end he turns into an existentialist. No Surprises, Radiohead. Queensryche, Take a Hold of the Flame. That was another suggestion from a friend of mine. Yeah, that's right.
I'm giving you the double horns.
Listening to Queensryche and Jeff Tate's voice is like, I'm not sure there's anybody that had a better voice in his prime. It's just incredible. He still sounds great.
We saw him live about 5 years ago doing all of Mind Crime with his daughter filling in the Sister Mary parts. Great. The
Operation Mind Crime is just a masterpiece.
And that was my first concert. It was Queensryche, the Empire Tour, but they also did all of Mind Crime. Brown County.
Oh, that'd have been awesome.
1991.
I'm a new wave guy. You know, I'm not a hard rock guy, but that stuff is, yeah, exceptional. I also have Jason Mraz, Living in the Moment, Billy Joel, Pressure, and Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Oh, no. We're never going to hear that. Thank God.
Yeah, that we can't hear that. That's been retired, right?
Well, in my brain, yes. Never need to hear that.
Of course, now it's in your brain now, but at least it'll replace the bad...
Brian's back.
Brian Wilson's song, so yeah.
I don't know if it's worse. Anyway, I got a few here. Dead by They Might Be Giants. I Returned the Bag.
Is it a song I know? My one singing. Don't worry. I'm sorry. So that was mean.
I'm going to cut you off and finish the show by myself.
Sorry.
Dead by They Might Be Giants. I Returned a Bag of Groceries. Yeah, that whole thing. Learning to Fly from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I want to mention Cake, a song called Mr. Mastodon Farm. It's all about these birds that he watches from his out of his window. They fall to the ground, but then they take flight at the last second. He has to get up and make sure that they don't actually hit the ground, and it happens all the time. Kind of a weird thing.
The Etruscans used that stuff like that for divination, which you probably don't care about at all.
No, but thanks for sharing.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Much appreciated.
I'm here for you.
Shout out to somebody, the Godfathers. Oh, friend David turned me on to a song from The Godfathers called Birth, School, Work, Death. That says it all. Yeah, that says it all. The aforementioned George Harrison with What Is Life? Pink Floyd, Is There Anybody Out There? Courtney Barnett, Pedestrian at Best.
Actually, the whole Wall album is it's one of the most existential works ever. Oh,
Pink is having an existential crisis, no doubt.
Without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah.
A wonderful album. That's one of my favorite albums.
Yep. I don't know if this guy who is the subject of this song wants to accept his fate, but he's pretty much stuck in it. Synchronicity 2 from The Police.
Oh, how did I not get that? That's good. That's such a depressing song,
but God damn, it rocks.
Yeah.
It's such a great, that's my second favorite Police song, I think. After Message. Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians. I don't love the song What I Am, but it, you know, fits the subject.
Didn't I use that before?
No.
No, that must have been one of my
alternates.
One of my alternates, because her album, every song on there is just spot on existential. Unfortunately, it's really, really good.
Oh, really? I don't know. That song always kind of bugged me, but it fits the subject anyway. Yeah. Maybe it's that, you know, I'm not aware of too many things. Like, all right. go make Paul Simon happy and get out of my face. I'm glad she's done that. I just wanted to mention that song. I didn't mean to. It's like don't worry, be happy a little bit. In the same kind of vein, One of Us by Joan Osborne. Not my favorite song.
Joan Osborne.
That's what I said, yeah.
You said John.
No, I said Joan.
All right, audience. What do you say? Put the comments on the website.
All right, I said.
Oh, never mind.
Shut up. anyway, got to mention the Dead Milkmen with Life Is Shit. Classic. Monty Python, The Meaning of Life theme song from the movie. Somehow didn't get played before.
Always look on the bright side of life. I guess that you could argue.
Yep.
Argue that.
Yep. I would play Mad World from Gary Jules or Tears for Fears if it hadn't been retired. It's retired, so we can't play that. And then last but not least, the title of the song is problematic to those who don't understand it, but it's Killing an Arab from The Cure. Gotta mention.
Yeah, that's based on a Camus book, and you know,
it's the title.
It works, but just, you know, he should have even, you know, shouldn't have even, you know, titled it then. I mean, it was always problematic. It's been a long time since I read it, but he should have like titled it, you know, his sister's. Killing his sister's,
staring,
you know,
at the sea.
Fiance or something. Just anything, you know, but that. But, you know, that was Camus. He
didn't care. He's uncancelable.
He did not care. I absolutely, totally agree.
Yeah. But anyway, those are mine. That's it. Thanks so much. Gabe Scalone, everybody. Once more.
Woo. Yay for me.
Thank you so much, dude. I think we're out of here. Say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye to everybody.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you like what you hear, you know, subscribe to the show and all that good stuff.
Please do. Find us at
all the places that you get podcasts. And come say hello. Find us on social medias, blah, blah, blah. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And until next time, peace out. Say it.
See ya. I rarely make practical sense.
I feel a super drunk, smooth in my hand, staring at the sea, staring at the sand, staring at myself, reflected in the eyes of the dead man on the beach. I'm alive. I'm dead. I'm the strength.